Hello.
Howdy do da.
I'm on godmother babysitting duties right now. And
yeah, I was going to say, look at the view that we have outside. You also have dead trees, just like me.
Welcome to beautiful Pennsylvania, where winter has killed all of Earthly's things. But what beauty is the world and nature that in spring, in just a couple of weeks, they will come back to life, just like me.
Yeah, well, and Punxsutawney Phil said spring is coming early, and I trust that little groundhog. I do.
If you can't trust the groundhog, who can you trust?
That's a great point.
In Phil, we trust.
This is Two Girls, One Ghost.
Two girls, one ghost. And we are your ghostesses. That is Corinne.
Hello?
I am Sabrina. And this is an Encounters episode where we read your ghost stories. So if you email us any of your paranormal, spooky happenings and encounters, we sort through them. We have, I think we have like 9,000 emails currently, and they date all the way back to 2017 in the beginning, early days of our origin story. And we read them back to you. It doesn't matter when you sent it. It doesn't matter what the topic is. Sometimes we do themes, but most of the time it's like whatever we're feeling. We search key terms, we read emails, and we're like, ooh, that one tickled my titties. And I'm going to read it.
Amazing. That's exactly what we do. Do you want to go first?
I do. Thank you for asking. Well, this is perfect because my sister and my brother-in-law are out of town right now. So I flew back to the East Coast and my mom and I are babysitting for the weekend. So it's super exciting. And I actually end up having an email. And this is before I even knew I was coming out here. But it's called Nannying Three Kids and a Bad Man. So,
oh, gosh.
Perfect.
Oh, perfect, though. I feel like this happens to us a lot where, yeah, things do really sync up whether we meant for them to or not.
Exactly. But here we are, and this is from our listener, Maggie. Hi, Leia and gals, longtime Phantom here. It was love at first sight when I saw the name of your podcast on Spotify, and I'm so excited to see you in Portland. Well, we're glad that you came, Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
I was a full-time nanny for 5 years and had my fair share of spooky experiences. It makes absolute sense that childcare workers have ghostly things happen because you are often there late hours, alone with your thoughts if the child is sleeping. You're enmeshed in a deeply personal position that often crosses professional boundaries. So emotions are high. And we all know ghosts love kids.
Oh, so, yes.
For my first story, some background information. I worked for this family for a year, and it was the most stressful year of my life. Nannying is extremely difficult because you often don't have coworkers to turn to and say, hey, so is this normal? And childcare workers are often naturally very sweet.
Well, and also it's hard because it's like if you want to gossip, you can't just go and be like, damn, your kid sucked today.
Right.
To the parent.
Right. You don't have anyone who can commiserate with you.
Yeah. Like, I almost quit because your child was awful. That would not probably fly with most families.
Yeah. After we read the story, I want to hear if you have any like babysitting horror stories.
Me? Oh, I don't think so.
Some people find it difficult to walk that line of caregiving and advocating for yourself. And then when you do think of leaving, you're so attached to the kids that it's nearly impossible. You're often socially isolated from adults and have way too much time alone without mentally engaging tasks to keep your mind busy. So that's where I was in this current job that I'm talking about. The family was extremely wealthy. Hello, only Juicy Couture sweatsuits for their one-year-old. And they took full advantage of my love for their kids. I was run absolutely ragged. And I think that, plus some of the chaos of their oldest having behavioral issues, set the stage for what I experienced and I'm about to tell you. Also, I think like the way that I've set up, I'm like, the sun is beating down on me. I'm also on the upstairs floor. The heat is going. I am about to be, you will be seeing sweat. I'm like in a sauna.
Sweat. Your hair is going to get like stringy grudge type ring. You're just going to be dripping straight out of the well.
I'm truly like, picture the scene in Halloween Town where the ghost goes into that little like sauna thing and comes out skinny.
Oh, yes. Oh, man.
Dad, me. The first questionable occurrence was when I had a rare moment with the oldest child, and we were sitting at the kitchen counter. Mind you, this house is more like a mansion. It was a completely open concept, which is great, but when you're cleaning up after kids all day and you can visually see a toy lying on the floor across the room, it takes a whole hike to go pick it up. So the neighbors were a bit far away, too. So while I was sitting at the table, I heard a man's voice with us in the room. Knowing that there was no possibility of an intruder and not wanting to alarm my nanny kid, I kept going with our activity, and it happened again. The kid I was nannying turned to me and said, "Maggie, who is that man talking?" I told him that I didn't know, but it's okay. Insert narrator. It was not, in fact, okay. I texted the parents to make sure the landscapers hadn't come on a different day, but nope, we were alone. Another time, one of those car toys you have to physically pull backwards to wind up and then let go moved across the floor by itself when we were several rooms away.
Oh my gosh.
But then larger things started happening. And honestly, I can't remember how this one specifically started. But essentially, all three kids and I were upstairs in their massive playroom. The days I had all three were the most stressful ones. So again, it would make sense that they would happen on this day. So the playroom was two rooms, one with a bed in it, and I was sitting in between the two rooms to keep an eye on all three. And I was also facing out to the entryway, looking straight down a hallway to their bedrooms. I don't remember what prompted it, but the three-year-old told me that there was a man sitting on the bed. I asked, "What does he look like?" And the three-year-old looked at me and replied, "Bad."
No. Okay, because this whole time I was like, well, you know, you did say you wanted coworkers. It was a wish that you had in the back of your mind. Maybe the spirits are just reacting to that, giving you what you asked for. But it being bad changes my perspective.
And as the kid said bad, all of a sudden, the door to the three-year-old's bedroom that was down the hallway slammed shut by itself. I asked where the man was, and he just pointed down the hallway. Luckily, I moved on to the absolute sweetest family that ever existed, not without a dramatic exit on part of the Manson family. But this next family loved me so hard and welcomed me with such open arms. But the spookiness continued, but in more heartwarming ways.
Okay, well, that's good. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot of energy surrounding them all the time. Yeah. Or maybe just because they're with kids. You know, there's a lot of energy and spirits around kids. But at least now we've shifted into nice ghosts.
Correct. Sounds like we're going to get into some warmer spirited spirits. I am curious if Maggie had any encounters prior to being a nanny, but that might be an email for another time.
Yeah. And I do feel bad for those kids from the previous family who.
Bad.
I mean, they're still haunted by something bad, probably.
Odd side note, we lived in a large city, but somehow my new nanny mom reported to my old nanny mom at her job, which I learned when I heard them on a Zoom call together one day. I didn't tell her until they were moving out of fear that it would affect my new nanny mom professionally, but I digress. It was just such a strange synchronicity. So this family lived in a townhouse in the city, and while it was much closer to the neighbors, I got to know the other neighbors' schedules well, and they were really never home during the days that I was there. I would hear pots and pans moving, and I thought maybe the cleaner had come in, and I would walk downstairs fully anticipating to greet her, but no one would be there. One day, I was changing the baby while in the house alone, and as naturally as can be, I felt a hand rest on my shoulder, almost as if it was someone lovingly peering over to see the baby and his cute expressions. I don't think I responded lovingly, though. I'm pretty sure I was like, "Leave me alone," which, in my defense, is pretty fair when you work 90% of a job alone in someone else's house.
True.
My nanny parents were non-believers, but fully encouraged and supported my love of all spooky things. But one day, it came to a head. So my nanny mom was at the sink washing dishes as I was feeding the baby in a high chair a few feet away when the lid to the coffee grinder flew across the room and landed at my feet.
Whoa.
She saw it happen, and I jumped into action by creating a lively conversation to distract her because I could tell it really freaked her out.
There's no conversation that could distract me from what was happening. I'd be like, "Let's pause," because something literally just flung itself across the room.
Sure. If you believe in it, then yes, absolutely. Let's pause and talk about it. But if you're scared and startled and don't want to believe in it, let's move on.
Mm.
What's funny is I'm very into historic research. And a few years ago, after I had moved on from that job, I was looking up the historic fire insurance maps for that section of the city. Turns out that their house had been built on a plot of land that was once a brothel turned mortuary. So that's my story, at least a few of them. I've also had my engagement ring thrown across the room, seen a shadow person, and a lot of other spooky things, but I'll write back another time. If I can end on a bit of a soapbox for this, if you are in childcare, please align with a good nanny agency if possible so they can advocate for you
and show you what industry standards are so you are not taken advantage of like I was. If you're in a place where that is not available, Facebook groups and other groups online are extremely helpful for bouncing back and forth ideas of what is standard. Unfortunately, the scariest part of the story is I didn't realize how crappy my nanny family had treated me until far too late. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all you nannies out there are freaking amazing and deserve to be treated as such. Thank you again, girls. See you on the other side, Maggie.
Did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S., including both me and you?
Uh-huh. They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you, and you can find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. Plus, along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever, which I have been using nonstop. Mm-hmm.
So at my house, some of the plants in the front did not survive the winter because it was just too deep of a frost. So it has been exciting for me that I get to redesign the front. And I was like, here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to drive around to all these different nurseries and big gardening centers and trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. So I just ordered a bunch of stuff from Fast Growing Trees, and my hydrangeas are coming in today. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. My hydrangeas were one of them. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code TGOG at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using code TGOG at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code TGOG. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Maggie, I'm sorry you had to go through that. That is hauntings on top of already feeling like you're giving everything of yourself and your free time and your mental capacity to a family who's not giving you any bit of respect back. Mm-hmm. That's very, very hard. And I'm sure that does attract more negativity in terms of spiritual entities passing through being like, ooh, Maggie looks great for us today.
Yeah.
I am curious, Maggie. You said the second family, those hauntings were better. But to me, I don't think so. Things are flying. Your ring's being taken.
I think the ring happened elsewhere. Like, I don't think the ring was there. I think it was truly just the hand on her shoulder watching, like leaning over to watch. To look at the baby. And then the coffee grinder thing. The coffee grinder one, it seems like it's more of like a trying to get your attention. I exist type of thing.
Yeah.
But
it does spook me when anything moves with that much force, though.
Yeah, definitely. I do like, though, I think what makes it less creepy and more heartwarming is the fact that Maggie had the instinct to, like, while startled by the hand on her shoulder, the instinct was, oh, this spirit is just trying to, like, watch this adorable baby. And it makes it less spooky because you don't have a child that's of speaking age where they can tell you that there is a ghost and a man who looks bad, you know?
That's true. Oh, man. No, my answer is no to would I ever nanny. Sabrina, you were an au pair. You grew up babysitting. Did you have creepy stuff happen?
I don't think I ever had creepy stuff happen.
Bad families.
I nannied and babysat a lot. I even babysat throughout college. Honestly, I never had anything scary happen. The scariest thing was when I was watching this one family. There were two kids. One of them was my brother's age and one of them was a little bit younger. When I would babysit them, I think around that time I had seen When a Stranger Calls. And so anytime I was there late at night, I was just, if anything, I scared myself. That was the scariest part.
I very rarely babysat because of that. I would get scared and then I would call my parents. And it would result, I think I babysat like at night, maybe once or twice ever, because I would end up calling my mom and she would have to come over, or she would like stay on the phone with me the whole time as I just suffered on the couch, terrified of the dark. So no, I couldn't do it. I do think there's a lot of bravery involved in going in someone else's house at night and caring for other people and being the like brave, responsible one there.
Yeah, honestly, I think the only like horror story I had was like when I would nanny or babysit kids that were of the age where they were really seeking independence and didn't believe that they needed a nanny. And so they would like try to butt heads with me. And I was just like, you annoy me. Like, stop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I would like babysit, like air quotes, for a neighbor across the street during the day. So sometimes they would be there. Okay. Other times they'd just be like, oh, I need to go run an errand. Can Karen come over for like 2 hours or whatever? And I would do that. The only stress I had with that family was that one of their children, or maybe two of their kids, of their three, had celiac. And it was early days celiac, where it took a long time to diagnose it. There were not just, you couldn't just go to the grocery store and get like, oh, here's some double stuffed Oreos, gluten-free. Here's an Annie's mac and cheese, gluten-free. That didn't exist. And so it was very stressful trying to manage like snacks and not really severely hurting one of the children with what I was feeding them. What shall I read? I think this one's maybe a nice one to kind of move into some of the others with. Okay, this is called, I think Corinne's Mudroom Shadow People Lived in My House Too.
Oh, shit, sorry.
Which is in, yeah, that's in reference to my Littleton, New Hampshire house where shadow people lived on my walls in the mudroom.
The ones that made you pee your pants?
Which is where the bathroom was, which if my mom didn't go to the bathroom with me, I just stood there and peed in the kitchen.
When's the last time you peed your pants?
That was it.
That's the last time?
Yeah, I'm not a pants peer. I've never peed my pants drunk, like nothing.
I envy you, but I'm also like, just wait. You're about to have a baby, and I feel like it's going to happen. It's gonna
come. Although I will say, given that it hasn't happened to me in my current, like up to this point in my life, except for an intentional, I'm standing here, I'm afraid of going to that bathroom, and I'm just going to stare at you and pee my pants, and I'm 4 years old. I don't think it's going to be as bad for me as a lot of other people who already do have the issue. Like I have some strength down there, I guess. So yes, I probably will pee my pants. I think I might recover decently.
Yeah. I don't know why I want you to pee your pants so that we can commiserate together.
Yeah. I think that physically I'll snap back, emotionally and mentally. I'm not sure how I'm going to handle that situation.
Okay. Well, just know you have a support system and someone who does it on a regular basis. So like truly maybe once a month.
Man. Oh, it's pretty Jesus Christ. When I order my adult diapers, I'm going to send some to you too.
It's not a full pee my pants. It is like a, I need to change my underwear because I began to pee my pants.
Because there's pee in your pants.
Yeah. But the rest of it made it into the toilet.
A few teaspoons.
Which is enough to need to change your underpants.
That is. That's wet. Oh my gosh.
It's uncomfortably wet. Yeah.
I don't have that, but a pregnancy thing that has been really bothering me. I never, ever got nosebleeds growing up. And now I get them. Every few days I'll have nosebleeds.
Oh, weird.
I woke up last night in the middle of the night with my nose bleeding.
How strange.
So, I know. Weird. Too much blood in my body. Oh, gross. Okay. Greetings, my fellow witchy women.
Greetings.
I recently started listening and watching your podcast, and I've been quickly making my way through a ridiculous number of episodes in a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. Your ghost story specials are some of my favorites, and when Corinne was talking about the house that she grew up in, I immediately was reminded of my childhood hauntings as well. And just as an FYI, this is going to be a tad long. You know what? I don't think it's that long.
People don't have to apologize or even like let us know if it's going to be long. We can see the length of it. We chose it willingly. We want all the details.
Yeah. And when people send us a novel that will take us like 40 minutes to read, it just means that we're going to pick really short ones for the other ones that we're sharing.
Yeah.
It doesn't change what we're going to share.
No, it's a balance.
It is. Okay. I've always known ghosts were real. And when people used to not believe me, I remember being so jealous that they were given the opportunity to make that choice on their own. I grew up in a house that my mom could not sell. She was a real estate agent at the time, and California had to disclose if a previous owner had died in the home to potential buyers. And the man who lived there before, he fell asleep with a lit cigarette in his ashtray, and somehow it caught the house on fire. He died from smoke inhalation before firefighters could get to him, and his two dogs also died. Big sad.
Oh. That's so sad.
I know. Also, a quick side note, we would frequently hear dogs barking and smell cigarette smoke in the home when no one smoked, And our stove even caught fire one night when the oven wasn't even on and no one had been cooking.
I don't like that part.
I know.
It's one thing to like smell the smoke and smell cigarettes and hear things, but for a haunting to recreate a really dangerous situation is terrifying.
Totally. Anyway, the price of this house kept dropping and eventually we decided to buy it. At the time, it was just the two of us and we lived there for 11 years. I was about 3 or 4 when we moved in, so my earliest memories are pretty much all from this house. My mother is super Catholic, and I think her beliefs made our paranormal issues worse. She would do crazy shit, like ask her guardian angel to leave her side to go keep her Glazer boyfriend, my now stepdad, safe on his work site. And then she would be left alone and like have to battle these ghosts and demons all night.
I like how selfless she is, though, with her guardians. She's like, I got this.
But like, she has a child too. Like, keep the stay for the child. I don't know.
Right. Maybe do like half the guardians go there, half them stay. What do I know?
Or just call and say, hey, can you wake up his guardians to help him? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm paraphrasing here, but she legit would do that. And each time it made it so much worse in our home. It eventually started to get so bad. There was such a bad vibe that even people who were not sensitive would immediately notice when they came over.
Whoa.
I had friends who would see the same children with black holes for eyes that I did. And when my grandpa visited, he would walk around with a crucifix in front of him when he had to go use the bathroom at night. Which, granted, it's a very funny memory now, but it was terrifying back then.
I mean, that's horrifying for him to be that concerned. Like when an adult acts that way.
Hell no, that would scar me forever.
That's horrifying. Jeez.
I'd probably be too scared to even start a ghost podcast. I'd be like, I reject all of this.
Yeah.
There are approximately 1 billion stories that I could tell you, but some of the scariest incidents that I remember were times I would see floating heads in the corners of the ceiling, super tall shadow people, and full body apparitions walking in front of the front door, looking through the windows at me.
There's so much happening here.
Yes, and this is not just like all the previous owner.
Right.
The smoke, the fire, the dogs barking, sure. But what the fuck is this place?
Well, now I'm like, there's part of me that's like, did the previous owner see all of this? Or did the fire and the tragedy of that experience open something up?
Right. Yeah. Or is this just like some random ass portal that despite who lived here, what happened, if there were even a house here, there would still be a ton of stuff coming and going.
Jeez.
Did you just finish A Court of Thorns and Roses like we did and craving another fantasy world to devour? Well, Dipsy's got you. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories, and you can dive into spicy enemies to lovers tales or embark on epic romance between immortal fae and sworn foes. They have everything, the perfect stories for your morning walk, late night, long bath.
And there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, with Greek gods and goddesses, Regency era, historical fiction, and of course, the fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you can always find something new to explore. And Dipsy offers a modern approach to romance through high quality and captivating audio fiction. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/TGOG. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/TGOG. dipseastories.com/TGOG. I frequently had sleep paralysis where an old lady would hover like 2 inches over my bed in my face while mumbling words that I wouldn't understand from a mouth that was moving way faster than the words could come out of it. That is the scariest imagery. Fuck.
I can't.
That is a horror movie.
Horrifying.
Almost weekly, my stuffed animals would dance in a truly unsettling, bouncy, jig-like type of movement. And my music boxes would wake me up in the middle of the night. The wind chimes around our house would play melodies to familiar songs or things that I would be humming, almost like they were an echo. I can go into some detail in another email if you guys want.
Yes.
Yes, we want it. Holy shit.
I want every single story of everything you ever experienced.
Well, they said it would take me about 10 hours if I listed them all.
Great. We'll have a 10-hour special episode.
What are you doing this Sunday? I think sitting down and writing out all the 10 hours worth. Out of all of these hauntings and many more, the ones that scared me most were the shadow men that would march into my room every single night. I don't remember when it started because it was such a common experience and it lasted literally 3 years because I didn't understand at the time that not everyone saw the same things that I did. But so basically, every night after my mom would tuck me in, she would leave my door open that led to the hallway towards our living room. My bed was against the wall opposite the door, so if I rolled over onto my right side, I would be staring down the hallway towards the living room couch. When my mom eventually turned off the rest of the house lights and went to bed, these three men would start marching out of the living room darkness, down the hall, and towards my bedroom.
This is like the Nutcracker.
Yeah. Yeah, but also like Haunting of Hill House version of the Nutcracker.
Right.
The Nutcracker is scary.
I mean, it's all like a paranormal, like fever dream.
It's not a whimsical Christmas tale.
Yeah.
One was really tall, like 7 feet tall. One was very short and fat, like 4 feet. And one was just average height, but slender level skinny. They were more towards like a dark bluish gray than a full black shadow person that you think of. And they were full bodied figures with just a hint of see through to them. The way Corinne described her mudroom family really sounded like the way that they looked as well. And P.S. saying mudroom family is so fucking creepy. I hate it.
It is. It is. It's absolutely horrifying.
They didn't move normal. They were so erratic in the way that they would walk. It was really hard to explain. But they were always in a single file line, so it looked like they were marching to me. They had this weird bounce to their step as well, so they would bop up and down oddly in an almost cartoonish manner. And they sometimes would also go in and out of slow marching to really fast movements. So it would take like 5 minutes to reach my room, and other times it would take like 5 seconds. So oh, strange. The unpredictability.
Yeah.
Sometimes they combined the fast and slow, which always scared the shit out of me because they would be snail Naturally. Speed at first and then dart forward like 3 feet in a millisecond and then walk normal pace again. I would see them and immediately pull my covers up over my head, and then I would peek back out when I felt their presence retreat. The second I would look back out into the hallway, it would start again. And this repeated over and over every night until I would either pass out from fear or from exhaustion.
That's crazy.
I should also mention that I would try to close the door before I slept, but I would wake up to it open. So I gave up on that pretty quick. The shadow blob men would switch the order that they would walk in a lot. And sometimes it seemed like they were slow motion moving, almost like how Samara walks out of the TV in The Ring.
Nope.
I would never let them get close to my bed and usually not even pass the doorway. They didn't have faces and they kind of flickered in and out like TV static at times. They were more like cartoons than like people. And that freaked me out because at least when I saw people ghosts, it still took a minute to decipher what they were and that they weren't alive. And I usually wouldn't be scared until after, when I had realized that no one else had seen what I had just seen. One night, they kept getting faster and faster. And I remember being so scared and trying to call out to my mom, but no sound would come out of my mouth.
Oh, that's so sad.
I decided I would run over to her room when they had to start over in the living room from me not watching them. LOL to my child brain rules. Well, it sounds like they followed the rules, so.
Right. Also, are they her rules or are they the ghost's rules? Like, you need to watch the whole thing, you know? Mm. Don't look away or we start over.
I never watched this scary movie, but there's one where it's like someone gets delivered like a box and there's a man coming out of the box. And every time you look away, he can move again. So you literally have to always have someone staring at this man.
What is this from?
It's a scary movie and I can't remember the name of it because I never actually saw the full movie. I just saw like the trailer or clips. Maybe my brother had watched it and recommended it to me.
Interesting.
But this feels like the reverse where it's like if you look away, you're fine. But if you look at them, like you actually get to watch them get closer and closer.
It's like
if you're paralyzed
tag.
With fear, they win.
Right.
I decided I would run to her room when they had to start over in my living room from me not watching. But by the time that I reached my doorway, they zoomed in hella fast and were directly in front of me. I screamed and I ran through them to go into my mom's room. And when I got there, I cried for like an hour and I could feel their coldness on me still. I was shivering like I'd been outside in a storm. And once I did calm down, I asked my mom how she dealt with them without being scared. And that's when she told me she didn't have to because not everyone could see these like I could. She kept asking me why I didn't tell her sooner. And I tried to explain that I thought everyone saw these and heard the same stuff that I did until that very moment.
Oh, how sad and isolating.
I know. The men disappeared after that. I'm not sure if I broke their fun from facing my fear of them or what, but I am very happy that I was able to fall asleep normally again.
That to me sounds like they were taking advantage of the fact that she wasn't speaking about it. Mm-hmm. And the second that she acknowledged their existence to someone else, they lost their power.
Yeah, it is odd. It's just like a cheeky little game to them. Yeah. There's no, it's not about her.
Interesting.
It's just about taking advantage of the situation.
Yikes.
My mom and I didn't always have the best relationship, but I was always so grateful that she never doubted me or made me feel crazy when I would tell her what I saw. She didn't try to make me feel stupid like a lot of people in my life do now when they find this out about me. And I think that this made me more sensitive in the long run. She was a single mother. I was a single child. Mm-hmm. So I never really had a reason to doubt my own abilities because she never did. She always would listen. She would even help me try to develop my powers so that I wouldn't be so scared. We would often play the game called Psychic, original, I know, where she would try to visualize something and I would try to pick up on it and guess what it was.
That is so cool.
So cool. Also, a great way to kind of do that with your kids on car rides, like keep them entertained, but also maybe unlock something powerful in them.
Taking notes on that one.
Yeah. I obviously didn't see how beneficial this was when I was a child, but it has helped me a lot through my adult life. I'm now 32. I've never lived in a home that wasn't haunted. And yes, I know. I am the haunted one. I have been in the military since I was 19, so I've converted some of the most skeptical people in the world to include all of my past partners, all of my cynical friends, and often tell people things that they were just thinking about or have yet to happen. I most recently told my best friend about a dream that I had of her being pregnant with a baby boy and told her that she should take a test because I knew that this dream was real. She said it wasn't possible, but then she called me back the next day to tell me she was pregnant. And when she got her sonogram a few weeks ago, she texted me and said, I was almost exact to the day of conception, and she was 99% sure that I was correct on the sex of the baby too. In conclusion, I love you both. I feel like we've all had very similar childhoods, and I would give my left boob to be able to sit down and talk about ghosts over brunch and mimosas with y'all. Please reach back out to me with any questions, and thank you for coming to my TED Talk, Rachel.
Rachel, you can keep your left boob because I think what we have decided is that we would like to sit down for 10 whole hours and record all of your encounters. But actually, it makes me think, how fun would it be to like one day do like a TGOG boozy brunch, but like boozy brunch, you know?
Yes. And also,
What are you envisioning?
I don't know why. I just can't get past it having to be a drag brunch too. Sure. And so I'm just like thinking of all the drag costumes where it's like.
Yeah. But it has to be like drag of your favorite ghosts.
Yeah. And the performers are going to, they're going to go around. It's like, I put a spell on you. Oh. You know, it's going to be freaky and awesome.
Spooky drag.
It's a spooky drag show. I don't know when we all tell our stories. I think we just like do it in conversation around the table that we're at. But I'm into this. This would be really fun.
It would be the best event because I feel like for anyone who has social anxiety going into new social situations, this is the perfect experience for you because, which it doesn't exist yet. So sorry to like get you all excited and not.
This is perfect for you. Sign up today. Book your reservation.
I mean, it's perfect because there's no pressure to have like small talk. It's immediately like the first thing you say to someone is, hi, what's your name? Do you see dead people? And then you just immediately spark conversation. There's no pressure to talk about anything
what's
else
your ghost
but ghosts.
Honestly, I feel like people's names come last. Like the ghost story is priority.
We'll have like ghost stories printed out on the table too. So like if you don't have one of your own, you can read them. We'll have like coloring too, like ghostly coloring books.
I'm thinking of like the cards that you can get, like the We're Not Strangers or whatever, but it's all about like, you know.
Ghost stories.
Which one are you more likely to believe in?
Yeah.
Platypus or black-eyed kid? And then it's like, what is science? You know?
Yeah, exactly. And then next thing you know, you have Rachel's left boob in front of you because she cut it off in order to hang out with us.
Well, I think actually we should just create a giant cake. It's like a wedding cake, but it's Rachel's left boob. And then we all cut it at the end in
what
celebration of our very first... What comes out?
Yeah. Can something pop out of the left boob? Like
us.
A ghost?
Oh. Or Rachel. Better. Rachel pops out of her own boob cake.
I remember this one moment because it was the time my sister looked at me and said, "Why do you smell so gross?" And to be fair, I had just played a lot of soccer and I was out in the sun all day. But I wish back then I had had Lumi whole body deodorant, because now I use it every day and it has made it so I can smell my best every day, which means you can too.
Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Like, we're talking pits, we're talking under boobs, thigh folds, your belly button, mm-hmm. your butt crack, your vulvas, your feet, literally everywhere. It was created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. And now it's clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. Plus, it's baking soda free and paraben free. It's pH balanced and safe for use below the belt. And it smells really good.
I'm also obsessed with and so grateful for the deodorant wipes. I have a pack of them in my car. I have a pack in my backpack. Like, yeah. I'm traveling and on the go. It's just so easy to bring around with me. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. And as a special offer for our listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, it equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use the code TGOG for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code TGOG at LumiDeodorant.com.
Have you ever wanted to pop out of your own boob? Here's your opportunity.
Her nipple squirts liquid, but it's all champagne and it goes in a bunch of different directions. So we just like wheel Rachel and her boob cake around and everyone just like, you know, it's like you're at hibachi and you open your mouth and it just squirts in.
A champagne fountain out of a boob cake nipple.
This is going to be the best brunch you've ever been to.
TBD when it's happening.
The idea's there. We've gone past an idea. There is no big picture. We have gone into details, specific moments, specific decor.
But here's the thing. You don't want us to rush the planning because this cannot be another fire festival. We're going to plan every detail. And when it happens, whether it's in 2 years or 100 years, we'll be pristine.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe it's also a little bit of a murder mystery party. Maybe it's just everything all at once on top of each other. It's everything we love.
Okay, who's a party planner and can help us make this come to life? Please help.
Well, I think if we give ourselves exactly 12 months, we might be able to work it out. I don't know.
Okay. The same gestation period as pregnancy is the time that we will plan.
Oh, no. Oh, now we're that's shortening it. 12. I mean, 12 months was longer than 9 months.
I know, but I think we can do it.
Okay.
If you can grow a baby in 9.5 to 10 months, depending on the science there, then we can plan a party like this.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pitch that we do it in Salem, Massachusetts, because then
I'm down.
You know, everyone wants to go to Salem. We get our aura photographed on the side. Someone gets a, you know, there's a fortune
teller.
That's
another thing to add. Yeah.
All the people already exist there in Salem. It's easy pickings.
Right. It's like, forget photo booths. It's an aura photo session.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Easy pickings is a great way to segue into the next story, which is from Jasmina. And guess where they're from? Hello from Pickwicks and Deadwicks.
No fucking way. Oh my God. I feel like we're meeting a celebrity. Not the shops I go in all the time.
I know. Okay. So this is from our listener, Jasmina. Hello, I just listened to your podcast for the first time today, starting with the most recent episode, which was Hotel Colorado. I was enjoying the podcast so much, and then I heard your shout out, which was so kind, to Pickwicks in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and our remarkable perfume collection, which is where I actually just got my new perfume. Well, I guess not just, but it's my
when
staple.
We were there. Yes. Mm-hmm. We probably smelled 30 perfumes while we were there.
And we had to leave and come back because I was like, I'm overwhelmed now. And then yes. I came back and I bought that one.
There was some olfactory fatigue kicking in. We had to leave. sniff it an hour later, purchase it.
A sniff, a whiff. No, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. It was like there was like a work in progress. Then that's one of those things where I needed time. And I guarantee when I come back and listen to this episode again before I publish it, I'll be like, oh, man, there's something. Anyway, okay.
Shoot. Well, we'll abandon it right now.
Cut that.
Cut the whole episode.
The whole, yeah. Throw it in the trash.
Until you remember, and then we'll restart it all.
We'll start over. We have plenty of time to do that. Okay.
Yeah, until you remember what you haven't even come up with yet.
What I haven't even come up with.
Me saying until you remember, it's not even right either.
Depending on time, a future me might already know it, and I would like that future me to come to me now and say, here, delivery.
I want it to be like a bad dubbed over lip reading where we just have you speaking other words, but then we insert over it, you're like, a rub and a dub and a old scrub factory, a dub, dub. Whatever.
Are we taking a bath?
Scrub a dub dub. Two ghost girls in a tub.
You know what? I'm actually glad that I couldn't come up with something because what we just came up with was even better.
That's our main act during our drag brunch that we do. We come out.
We get in a bath and scrub each other.
In a bath. Yeah.
Well, then this turns into something very rated R.
You come out from a well. I'll come out from a tub.
Yes. That's the grand entrance I've been dreaming of and I didn't even know I could have. See, once again, you are my muse.
You're welcome.
Okay, so Jasmina says, I happen to be one of the resident fortune tellers at Deadwick's, its sister shop.
Ooh.
I let everyone in the text chain know and they were delighted. Fulcinelli, our perfume expert, had a thought about what the ghostly gardenia perfume could possibly be. There was a popular gardenia powerhouse at the time called Jungle Gardenia. It was deemed the world's most exotic perfume. Could the hotel ghost of Nurse Bobby have donned a floral bombshell to make her presence known? Perhaps, methinks. I love that all of Deadwick's and Pickwick's was theorizing about the Hotel Colorado nurse perfume.
Right. This is like one of those things where you don't even think that you need an expert, but you find out later that you totally do. Because it's like They're the historic experts in perfumeries in different scents and what was available.
Man.
That's a great call.
That's like such a cool niche thing to have so much knowledge about. I mean, we loved it because when we were there, just learning about how they would create scents based on old journals, talking about like the presidents and what they smelled like and how they concocted their colognes. I think that's so fascinating.
Yeah.
Jasmina says, I thought you would enjoy knowing that Deadwick's runs a haunted tour of Portsmouth from August till October on Saturday nights. Ooh. The tour ends at our Strawberry Bank location, which is haunted by a boy named Tom. He enjoys throwing candy at us from time to time and playing sweet-natured pranks. Well, pun intended, sweet-natured, because he's throwing candy at you. I grew up in haunted houses over the years and in a family that was very aware of spirits. Fortune-telling is actually a family trade, as my mother's side of the family is Romani. Not Romanian and not Roman. Roma are a diasporic ethnic group originally from India, but a long time ago, and now we're commonly known by gypsies, but many prefer that non-Roma don't use that word because it's technically a racial slur.
Okay.
Fortune telling, along with metalworking, performing, and horse trading, and other trades we're known for, are all survival trades born out of a combination of persecution and our own cultural resilience. When I was a child, I started seeing a tall entity in a long hooded cloak with no visible face, almost like you would describe the Grim Reaper. And this would hover around the home. When I would open the fridge to get some juice and close the door, he would be standing there for a few beats before disappearing. Sometimes I woke up with him standing at the end of my bed. He also liked to hang around my mother. Naturally, I would start screaming and tell my mother when I saw it, but perhaps even more terrifying, she would look at me and say, he doesn't like it when you talk about him.
Stop! Not her seeing the same thing. That is so freaky. Oh my God, I would shit myself.
Would you though? Because I don't think that's something you do.
That's true. My sphincter is too strong.
Let's see what type of score. Let's. Why am I wishing upon you
score my
peeing
sphincter?
And pooping yourself?
Oh.
I'm like, I want to put you in a situation to see what scary things will make you actually shit yourself.
Sabrina, childbirth is probably going to be the scariest thing I go through. And just in a few months, you're not even going to get a text that says, baby's here. You're going to get a text that said, yep, poop myself.
Right on the table. And it was true because whenever I talked about him, my stuffed animals would fly off the shelf and hit me in the face. Or my bed would literally lift up a few inches and then drop back down.
Good Lord, that's a lot of force and energy. Who is this guy?
I don't know, but so Jasmina said I stopped talking about him. My mother always struggled with health issues, mental and physical, and I always felt like he made them worse. I felt like he had been around her for a long time, long before I was born. When I was about 20, one of our family friends offered to do a cleansing on my mother in her own cultural tradition because she had started to see him even more. I can't discuss what my friend did because it's a closed practice, but I can say that she brought a jar with her, and as she worked on clearing my mother from this entity, the jar filled with black smoke. Once the jar was full, my friend drove across the country to dispose of it on land holy to her people. We never spoke of it again, but we never saw the man again either.
Do you want to know how many subscriptions I forgot about and was paying for and didn't realize? Too many. It was scary. And I'm so grateful that we got sponsored by Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
With Rocket Money, you have full control over your subscriptions. Sabrina and I both signed up for it. Yeah, and you have, well, you signed up for it and you were like, oh my God. And then I was like, oh no. And so I signed up for it and you can see all of your subscriptions in one place. And if you see something that you don't want, Rocket Money can help cancel it with just a few taps. And I just really loved how the dashboard also showed me my month spending compared to last month. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TGOG. That's rocketmoney.com/TGOG. rocketmoney.com/TGOG.
Oh, I have chills. Ew, this feels like something too that like someone would find a jar filled with this weird black smoke in the desert and unleash this thing again.
So wild. Or just like keep the bottle bottled up and put it in a holy place that, so that it's protected from the rest of the world.
Yeah, we need it permanently trapped.
Jasmina says, I have a podcast with my friend Paulina all about Romani culture called Romanistan. And we tell ghost stories every October. And listen, we have a lot of them. Romani Incredible. Ghost stories are really good. And I'm so glad I discovered your podcast. It feels particularly fated because you shouted out my workplace in the episode I listened to. I love it. I hope to see you two for a tarot palm or tea leaf reading at Deadwick someday. Thank you for telling spooky stories and making my commute more fun. Cheers, Jasmina, they, she.
Honestly, I didn't even know that they did that at Deadwick's. So next time I go, I'm for sure doing that. We went into Deadwick's so that I could get some black obsidian before we went to the Conjuring house.
We did fully like prepare ourselves there, but we didn't do any readings.
No, we didn't. But now knowing that,
we got to go back.
I'm into it.
And it would be fun to do a ghost tour. Have you done one of those before?
Not in downtown Portsmouth. No, I haven't.
Although I
think I get like a version of it through just my mom who grew up in Portsmouth.
Right.
Because it's like we go around. She's like, there's the growing gravestone. Here's Hotel Portsmouth. Here's, you know, pointing stuff out. But I'm sure there's so many more stories we've never heard.
Well, let's go back.
I definitely want to do that.
Okay, let's do it.
I have an encounter titled, The Time a Ghost Almost Yeeted Me Out of My Bed, brought to you via a straight flight from India. Ooh. Also, here's another great suggestion from this listener. If you're on the plane and you've got nothing to do, what better time to write out your ghost stories?
That's such a good point.
Yeah. Hey, Corinne and Sabrina, all hail Queen Leia. You can call me Jack or Kitty too. Jen and Maxie call me that too. And I basically ask my special friends to call me that. Okay, we're going to call you Kitty. I like that.
Kitty.
Kitty! First off, let's start with all of my love for you gals. You're absolutely incredible, lovely, kind, heartwarming, affectionate ladies. And I absolutely adore and would absolutely bear hug you. But I'm not that tall, so don't worry. I've been listening to the podcast for a year now. And you've been in my ear ever since, waiting for class, getting ready for bed, on the train, on the way to the dentist, while working on projects, cleaning the bookshelves. It's basically one boy, many ghosts in this household, y'all.
Love it.
I sometimes sound like the both of you in my head, and it's amazing.
I love that Kitty hears, instead of their own voice, it's our voice.
We're the narrators now. What a dream.
I imagine that one of us is like the good angel on the shoulder and one's the bad. I feel like you're the good, I'm the bad.
I don't know. Kitty, tell us. What roles do we have?
I feel like I'll lure you into like some dangerous situations because that's the life I'm living right now, apparently.
It's okay. It's okay. We all have those times in our lives and yours is just right now. I'm such an enabler too. Sorry.
You are, but then also you're very good at giving advice. So you enable me in the sense that you want me to do what I need to explore and find happiness. But you also, you do have a way of being like, okay, girl, let's get real for just a moment. But you do it at my pace, which I really appreciate.
Your timing is your choice. Okay. Kitty said, I accidentally laugh in class when I remember something funny you guys say on the podcast. Encounter stories always help me believe that ghosts are very much real, and I'm one of those people who can see them. So if they want to show themselves to me, they can. I also think I'm a wee bit of a witch, and I'm trying to be better at my craft. Anyways, this intro is getting long, so here's my encounter tale. The one time a ghost almost yeeted me out of my bed. I've tried not to ramble and lengthen this, but you hang on to your belts, okay? And maybe don't sit on the bed that's foldable and can be turned over while you're sitting on it. Thank you. Bye. Just kidding. This story took place when I lived in a private home whose owners were also our distant cousins, and they were old.
Okay.
I love how direct it is. It's like, they were old people.
I get it. I did a stint in my grandparents' house for a while.
Yes. The house was two stories, and we lived on the second floor. The house was cool. It had this big-ass hall that I could roller skate in, and I would often haul out my sword and bang it away at my imaginary pirate foes while my mom tried to sleep in peace.
Oh my gosh.
This doesn't feel like normal life. Like this totally like feels Peter like Pan. A Disney Channel movie. Yeah. This
We're is in so Neverland. Cool.
There were five bedrooms here, and that's a lot for the three of us, so we didn't use the other two. The other two were connected and had a separate entryway, and there were two doors side by side to enter into our part of the house. The owners wanted to divide the second floor so as to fit two families, so it was a big hall, four bedrooms, three bathrooms, two kitchens, and a balcony. My room was near the main door, and it had a slanting roof, which I decorated with fairy lights and DIY paper hearts while watching The Conjuring 2 on a daily basis.
On a daily basis?
Yeah, I love that. You put the like a horror movie on in the background and you're like cutting out paper hearts like la 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 la.
It's like our version of like you putting Bob's Burgers on and me putting on The Office.
Yeah, something
Kitty's
soothing.
Putting on Conjuring too.
It is soothing to watch horror movies sometimes.
Sometimes.
I would sleep in my room during the afternoon and with my mom during the night because my mom's room was just 12 footsteps away from the bathroom and I hated the dark. The hall would go silent and creepy at night, and the tree behind the house would house crickets, and their concert really freaked me out. I would often put a bed sheet over me like a tent and hold it with my feet while adjusting the other two ends with my hands while watching a movie on my phone. And trust me, ladies, it's a tiring job, but gotta enjoy the tent feeling, right? Yes.
Yes.
One such afternoon, actually, wait, this reminds me of, do you do this? I know other people do because I've seen people talk about it online, but I don't realize when I'm doing it for a while. Like when you're lying down, do you ever just like put your arm like dead up in the air and just hold it there for a while?
Like up above you?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I definitely like sleep like this sometimes where like my hands are like above my head, but not like in the air.
Yeah, no, like it's like dead in the air and it just feels so good. And it's like in the place it should be for a while. I know that that's something that I have done in the past, but I didn't realize how much I do it until the other day. Brian was like, why is your hand just
That's so
air?
Fascinating. Yeah, I've never done that.
I don't know. There's a diagnosis for me out there somewhere.
Grab the DSM and flip it open. See what you land on.
One such afternoon, I was in my little tent, my headphones on, and I was watching a movie. It was around 3 p.m. and I usually close the door, and I did close the door this day. But as I plugged in my headphones and was about to watch a movie, I heard the door creak.
Creak.
And I'm a clean guy. I like my door hinges oiled. So I looked out of my tent and the door was fucking open, fucking fully ajar.
thinking it was my mom who often opened the door so that I wouldn't suffocate, because who trusts windows, not her. She must have opened it, and I've resumed watching this movie. Nothing happened till some time later, not till the movie had just stopped by itself and the headphones turned off. They were both charged well and didn't malfunction often, so I was like, this is weird, right? And then I looked at the time and it was 3:33 p.m. now. I was trying to get the movie working in the headphones when I felt this cold dread, and it was like all of the lunch that I ate was fully liquefied and dropped into a giant pit in my stomach, and my feet felt like they were being fanned by icy winds. Instinctively, I checked to see if someone was in the room, but there was no one. The door was still open. Everything was fine. Nothing was out of the ordinary, except that my bed started shaking and I felt cold at my feet. At first, I thought that I was the one shaking my legs, and so I ignored it. But then it just intensified, and the whole ass foldable bed just started shaking while I was still on it. Okay, that's weird now, I told myself. I mean, I did watch a horror movie that morning, and we don't want to talk about that, okay? Okay, good. And so then, as if someone pushed with all of their force, I turned on my side and I almost fell out of my bed. I could not have fallen straight onto my head, thanks to the bedsheet that wrapped itself around me. So I didn't fall. Instead, I was like in this burrito wrap, my legs tied, my hands on the floor, trying not to fall. And it was difficult to get back up and onto the bed, but I did do it. But I kid you not, I could feel someone watching me from the foot of my bed. I felt a cold breeze when I climbed back in and I snuggled into that bed sheet. And then the door fucking slammed shut. Like someone who was pissed off just slammed it, like in a movie. And I could feel my heart climb out of my tongue and the feeling of something heavy lifting off of me.
What the heck?
Okay, I said out loud, I'm not going to watch a movie today then. I'm going to do something else. And you know what happened? I could hear my mom's voice saying, yes, but it was lighter and it was colder. And I jumped down from the bed and I ran to the bedroom where my mom was sleeping peacefully while her phone was on. And so I didn't wake her up. Thinking about it now, I probably should have asked her. But again, she would have just assumed that it was a side effect of me watching horror movies way too many times.
What if Kitty's mom was astral projecting?
Oh my God, yeah. And it's just like, my child, it's the afternoon. Get up.
Stop watching horror movies.
Yes, I know you're comfortable, but go hang with the crickets outside. I have more stories of hauntings in that house, like when I was home alone and I saw three faceless men, or when a ghost yanked the bedsheet off of me, or when a ghost straight up opened the front door, walked past me into my father's room, and I thought my father was home early. I even heard footsteps when whatever it was entered the house.
Whoa.
Alrighty then. So that was my story of how a ghost once almost yeeted me out of my bed while I was trying to get my phone and my headphones working to watch a movie. I hope you liked it. Also, side note, your book recommendations make me gasp every time. It's like y'all are in my head and you just know that I just read those books too.
Ooh.
Anyway, this is getting way too long. Love, love, love y'all. I hope you stay safe. See you on the other side. And we're going to call you Kitty because we're best friends now.
Kitty. It's interesting that both Kitty and Jasmina's story had a weird encounter with a spirit interacting with their bed, like literally lifting it or trying to knock them off in a strange way. But I do feel like Kitty's was a spirit trying to, whether it was Kitty's mom astral projecting, trying to get Kitty to not watch something scary by scaring Kitty out of it, especially like the hearing their mom's voice afterwards.
Yeah, they're like, yes.
Or it's just like a horrifying...
Or it's imitating Kitty's mom. I know it's hard because it's like, we know that this is not the only experience that Kitty had in this house, because they say that they had a bunch of other experiences too.
But also Kitty does set themselves up for quite a lot of encounters by spending their days watching The Conjuring movies over and over and over.
Right.
Again and again.
Well, that was certainly some haunting tales from all of you listeners. Thank you so much. If you have anything spooky, beautiful, anything to do with the paranormal world, please email us at twogirlsoneghostpodcast@gmail.com.
And please join our pyramid scheme, which basically is an MLM. And all you have to do, it's so easy, is tell two people, strangers, friends, family, whoever it may be, to listen to our podcast and then have them tell two people. And then we take over the world. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Just do it. Join our Patreon if you want episodes ad-free and 1 week early, plus bonus episodes every single month, plus campfire stories, plus book club. So many fun things over there for $5 a month. You get all of that. Make sure you rate and review us on iTunes. And if you want to watch us on YouTube
or join us on social media to follow along with whatever we decide to post, you should do that.
Biggest shout out to Jamie Ryan for editing our audio and our video. And we do hope we get to see all of you on this side. But if we don't, we will
see you on the other side.